Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
me leave them.
Dr. E, you live.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Talk Radio. I'm yours truly, Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali, a scholar in residence at the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education in New York City. And we have the distinguished guest on the line with us tonight, a medical researcher, Dr. Bianca Smithy Incus Allen, who I have known for 20-plus years now. And as usual, our conversation is about our environment and how we're being affected by environmental toxins, in particular electromagnetic fields. And before we begin, this radio program is sponsored by Nathan on the Spot Radio out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. He's our show engineer, and we just want to take time to render our thanksgiving for his sponsorship of this show and his faithful service, because he brings us live every Tuesday, sacrificing his time and resources. So, Nathan, we want to say thank you to you. And the second thing we want to do is render a disclaimer. This show is for educational purposes. It's not intended to talk about or promote green nanotechnologies as a pure diagnostic instrument or treatment or to prevent any type of disease or illnesses. We're simply giving voice to families, mothers and fathers and children who are discovering how that the use of this technology, it can be applied to better and enhance their health, number one. And number two, we're talking about how the technology can be applied to make indoor environments safer. We are under a national call to action because indoors is too toxic. We have too much exposure to air, chemical, and radiation toxins. And there's been the continuous argument and discussion around the plight of electricity in our homes. Is it too much? Is it high enough to cause seizures? Is the radiation levels coming from the electrical sockets on the walls behind your bed? Can they be associated to dementia, Alzheimer's, bipolar behavior, fibromyalgia? These are just some of the things. But it was interesting, because in the global community, the world is talking about electromagnetic fields, just talking about electricity and seizures, and we've heard so many testimonies on this radio show over the past 8 months of mothers and fathers and children sharing that they are seizure-free when they wear the nanos, green technologies, and they are, when the technologies are off, they have seizures. We also have heard so many testimonies from mothers, fathers, families, farmers about how retrofitting their homes, insulating their houses with the nanotechnology has reduced health disparity as well as rendered energy sufficiency. And so we want to home in on that tonight around the discussion that the World Health Organization is an international medical management enterprise that impacts the world with codes for diagnostic management of disease. And without further ado, I'll bring Dr. Cynthia Incus on to kind of introduce to us the World Health Organization and how it guides doctors around the world in medical care. Dr. Allen, thank you for interrupting your busy schedule to be on this call with us tonight. Tell us about the World Health Organization.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the World Health Organization, like you said, has been set up to be a help to those in the medical arena, particularly physicians, to advance, the health of all of those around the world, Rhoda.
And so the World Health Organization has a international classification of diseases that has thousands and thousands and thousands of diagnostic codes that are categorized. To diagnose, they have a category called ICD, which stands for International Classification of Disease. And they have rendered the leadership in putting a number to every disease known in the world. They have also have a classification called Current Procedural Treatments, or CPT codes. And so I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about electroconvulsion therapy. And could ECT, because we have heard so many people talk on this phone. We've been researching this matter out, because the big question is, can electricity cause seizures? And I was dumbfounded and bedaffled to learn that the medical industry actually induces one or more seizures for the treatment of some severe depression, cases of depression. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I know your father was a psychiatrist, one of the renowned psychiatrists in the United States, and certainly one of the most prominent psychiatrists in the city of Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, I am very familiar with the use of ECT. Its classification is ICD-10-PCS or ICD-9-CM. It was, the short name for it is just shock treatment. And when I was a little girl, I would go to my father's office sometimes on a Saturday when there was no school, and I would sit in one of his, he had two waiting rooms, and he had a room that had a hospital bed and a battery. A battery that had electrodes attached to it. And oftentimes when a patient came in, I would hear them, I would hear screaming. And I asked my father, I said, what is that? Oh, he said, that's just their brain screaming. It's like, okay. Now, I was a little girl, so I guess that was a short answer. But basically, in the old days, I'm sure it has they refined the administration of electroshock therapy, but basically the patient was attached to a battery and was shocked and put into seizure to the point that after the seizure they were passed out for a while and they had to be escorted home because they, you know, were in a stupor. Excuse me, but I don't know if anybody has ever seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but they had a very graphic scene of Jack Nicholson being given shock therapy. Nowadays, they do try to sedate the patient. However, formerly, they did not. They may just have nurses or orderlies hold the patient down so they wouldn't break their neck as they convulsed. The bad points of, although thought to relieve unipolar depression, bipolar depression, or mania, the side effects could include memory loss, long-term memory loss, permanent memory loss.
Hold it right there. Park it right there for a minute, Doc. Because I want everybody to take a note of this. Take some notes. Because doesn't memory loss sound like dementia and Alzheimer's to you?
Oh, of course.
Keep going,
yes.
Doctor. Yes. You know, I mean, as we begin to look at all of these diseases, we didn't have Alzheimer's and dementia 40 years ago. And all of this, everybody's bipolar. And where is our heads? Our heads, we sleep mostly with our head within 2 feet of a wall, and in many bedrooms there is an electrical socket on the wall behind the bed. And in that socket there's constant micro interference, electrical interference, micro surging. And so some of these sockets have enough electromagnetic field radiation to be at the level of a taser gun. And it would be interesting to note, and I don't know if you have the information or you know, Dr. Allen, what the levels of how many millivolts these patients are given for electrotherapy. That's a big question probably. Do you have the answer? If not, we can probably get it from Google.
Off the top of my head, I do not know how many volts of electricity were used in ECT. However, when it first started, it probably was unregulated because, like I said, my father had a battery. Just, it looked like a car battery. So
wow.
There was no way he could regulate that. Now, of course, like I said, the equipment became more sophisticated, where I guess you did administer particular levels, and there was also you could either have it pulsating or you could have it direct. So, excuse me, it's become more refined over the years, but its use is still questionable because most of the results were very short term, and like I said, the sequela was worse than what they were treating. So,
wow.
and there were some deaths as well. It could
wow.
exacerbate anybody who had heart problems. It could exacerbate
mm-hmm.
their illness if they had any type of aneurysms or weak vasculature. There were people who died. So,
wow. And does not that sound like what the EPA is saying? 1 in 3 persons, now adults and children, now have heart or blood vessel disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you look at the old edition, ICD-9, E as in Edward, we now have environmental code, or I should say, we have had environmental codes for 40 years, but we've never used them to identify the environment as a source of injury. At least I've never seen it in my nursing practice, and I've worked in 9 different countries and 21 different cities as a flying nurse, as a travel nurse. I'm one of the grandmothers that birthed the travel nurse industry. I've done home care for the last 32 years. I've never seen the E-codes that the International Classification of Disease archives. And E-code 925.0 and E925.01 specifically says that electrical current can cause angiitis, swelling of the blood vessels, hyperangiitis, hypersensitivity, meaning that people are allergic to electricity and they get this reactive response, and reactive vasculitis. So it talks about inflaming, the inflammation, the swelling of arteries and venuli structures of the lymphatic system. And this is what blows me away. Reactive angiitis, a swelling of the blood vessel, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Smith-Yinkes, is the underlying cause of cancer. Stage 1 cancer is sustained swelling that will not resolve. Diabetes, you can have angiitis to the arterial supply to the pancreas, and it cannot get enough blood flow to make sufficient insulin. It can cause renal insufficiency. Have you ever seen so many people needing dialysis in your life? And so, I mean, just comment on that a little bit. I mean, the fact that our homes are inundated with everything wireless and electrical now, and we've become the sickest nation in the world, in the developed world.
Right. Well, I concur with you. The environment we live in is making us sick because inflammation of anything is the first indicator of disease. excuse me. And our bodies are acidic. Our living space is electrically toxic. And all of that causes inflammation, which leads to chronic disease, which leads to cell malformation, which leads to cancer, which leads to heart disease, which leads to diabetes. So it's all an indicator of inflammation and acidity in our bodies.
Absolutely. And so retrofitting and remediating your house is paramount. Knowing your numbers of electromagnetic interference and microsurge is critical to life. And for those of you that received an email blast of the show, I indicated the CPT code, the procedural treatment code, because I was blown away that the specific language that was copied out of the ICD-9 or out of the procedural book of the World Health Organization, that code is used to this very day on identifying the use of ECT. And I was dumbfounded that it was specifically documented and stated that electricity, electric current, you can read it for yourself in the email, causes seizures, and that treatment is used to induce one or more seizures. And it's interesting that you would note that people are listless and lethargic after having a seizure. Because we've had so many children and their parents on the show, and it talks about how listless, how lethargic they become, and how sometimes even their personalities can be docile. I mean, I'm reflecting on Destiny, our young woman who had over 600 seizures a day. And her mom said it would take her 2 to 3 days to even finish an exam at school, and how she was a C, D, and F student for years, 16 years. And how when we retrofitted her house, we reduced the microsurge, we reduced the static, it supported her in becoming seizure-free. She actually also wore the nanotechnology called Nanos in her shoes, in the heels of her shoes, and in a necklace around her neck. And Dr. Cynthia Incus, I'm not sure if you heard that show, but her mother testified that when the naturopath determined she needed 3, at first she thought it might be too much, so she tried 1, it didn't work, 2 didn't work. But when they got to putting 3 on her, it worked, and she has been seizure-free. And I talked to her mom about last week, and she said to me that the young lady has now made the AB honor roll for the second time in her entire life. And the first time was the last grading period. And so we're rejoicing with Miss Destiny for being on the AB honor roll. So can you see the correlation? I mean, because to me, when we reduced her exposure to EMF and we gave her a technology that was blocking her body from absorbing the radiation. Then we got this type of outcome. I mean, does that make clinical sense, Dr. Allen?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because you were because if you use, and for lack of a better word, electrocution to induce seizures, then it just makes common sense that to block the electrical current would stop the seizures.
Well,
so and
that's
people
exactly
would,
what. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, and people with convulsive disorders and epilepsy, the whole function of their disease is that they are sensitive, ultra sensitive to the electrical current that's passing through their brain.
Exactly. And
mm-hmm.
I was really amazed. Somebody shared with me some research at NASA. And NASA has come out and said emphatically that the only way to deal with electromagnetic field radiation is you have to block it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't block the body from absorbing it, you're putting yourself at risk for injury. And with the Epilepsy Foundation, now releasing a report that says 1 in 26 persons, both adults and children, in America is at risk for developing a seizure disorder in their life.
And
I
yes,
can really
and,
see,
and,
yes. And 1
yes,
in 26 persons.
And the incidence of autism has risen drastically.
Absolutely. I mean, we are now 2 children in 91, and that was the statistic of 2014. They said in some communities it is reported that autism is 1 in 10, some communities 1 in 30. So we really have... It was interesting to see even in Arkansas, whatever is going on in Arkansas, there the Arkansas Department of Education has indicated that autism has increased 33,000% in their school system. So we have much work to do. We have a lot of education to do. We have to continue, and that is educating people about reducing their exposure to electromagnetic field radiation and converting their house to a healthy, smart house. And I know, Dr. Smith Incus, you had a house that was had high levels of static and electromagnetic frequency. In fact, you had dead bees on every deck on the outside, and ants were carrying you around in the inside. And did you notice any type of behavior, or did any of your children develop seizures, or any activity happen that would give you any indication that the electrical current could be the culprit?
Well, actually, in that particular house, my youngest son had a diagnosis on the autism spectrum. His diagnosis was Asperger syndrome. And when we moved into that particular house that Rhoda is talking about, it was a lovely house across from the Feeder Creek to the Potomac, lovely water views. But like she said, there were all... probably about 6 different species of ants, dead bees
wow.
in the attic. And but my son, he consistently had meltdowns to the point that he would get so frustrated and angry that he would want to throw you know, throw something, kick something, punch something. and that house made him sick. That house made him sick. He had so many hospitalizations. The 2 years that we lived in that home, we eventually moved. And I'm sure that was a leading factor. He was getting electrocuted. This is just, I looked up the volts. When people were getting electroshock treatment, they were being shocked with 450 volts of direct current, which was equivalent to having a lobotomy. So ECT was a form of electric lobotomy, basically.
Wow. And just for those listening in, just kind of give us a basic definition of what is a lobotomy.
A lobotomy is when you remove a portion of the frontal lobe of the brain. And it was used, centuries ago and years ago as a last resort to cure mental illness. And basically what it did is it made the patient a vegetable. They removed the frontal part of the frontal lobe of the brain.
People who were in a state of manic rage, and they just could not medicate them to reduce that anger, that level of rage, so that they could be civil and social and sane, so to speak.
Right.
And so that even happened in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, if I remember correctly, didn't it?
Yes. Well, I don't think they gave Jack Nicholson the lobotomy. I'm not sure.
But
they gave some of the patients in that movie a lobotomy. Yes.
Yeah, I remembered something. That guy that historically plays the like Frankenstein character, I can't think of his name right now. But I remember I thought he was maybe one that got a lobotomy. Well, it has been tremendous. I'll just stay on the line a little bit because I want to introduce you to Don Hunter. Don, are you on the line? He hasn't got on yet. Okay, maybe he'll be coming on here shortly.
He should be there now, Dr. Dave. I think it's
704? 704?
Yes.
Is that your
name? Oh, hi, Gagan.
Hey,
Gagan,
please meet Dr. Bianca Smithy Incus Allen, who is a medical researcher. She's on our National Advisory Committee for Healthy Smart Homes. And she's on my platform with me at the Columbia University in New York, which she's been from the beginning. She actually was a co-presenter when they webinared our program. We were a featured webinar 2 years ago. And she has just a tremendous, outstanding medical doctor, and she has – I tease her because she actually went to Canada with me to take the training with Dr. – Ulrike Banas's team from Germany and Switzerland, and she actually met the Russian doctor that scanned my body to tell me I was 100% radioactive and get an engineer to check my house out. Dr. Smithy, if you want to just elaborate on that a little bit, because we were both blown away at this doctor from Russia and how she was approaching me. And then I want you to meet this saint. This is the naturopath practitioner in Charlotte, North Carolina, Mr. Gagan Hunter, who just by the anointing of God had the courage and the skill to sojourn these nanotechnologies and test and evaluate these children to find out how many they needed that would render what they needed to block radiation. But before we, either one of you talk, I just want to stop and advise everyone to send their love and their prayers and comfort to Ida Morris. She lost her husband today, earlier today, and I didn't want to be remiss
not today.
In not bringing your awareness to the fact that her family is grieving and in great need of our love and our comfort right now. She and her husband have been married for many years, I want to say more than 30-plus years, and he was a veteran, served our country in, I believe, the Vietnam War. So he was a decorated soldier. And I just will give everybody, I'll send out an email blast where you can send flowers or, you know, your condolences to her and her family at this time. She's been such a great support, co-host of this show now for almost 10 months. So I want to just give you the information to it and advise that her family that she needs our love and our concern and our support. So Dr. Smith Ingus, take us to Canada and just give us two minutes of how we met the Russian doctor Marina. And I won't dare try to pronounce her last name. But it's almost like
Rhoda, somebody's trying to get your attention.
Who was the doctor from Russia that walked up to me out of nowhere and said, "Do you have ants in your house?"
Hey.
Dr. Smith Inc, is you still on the line?
I'm still on the line.
Dr. A.
Hello?
Yeah, somebody's trying to get your attention.
Dr. Smith Inc?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Gagan.
Hey.
Are you still on the line?
I'm still here, but I guess they're talking about somebody else trying to get your attention.
I must have got cut off. I'll come back in.
No, are you good? You good. Ida's on the line. Oh, she dropped. She went on and dropped. Dr. E'll do that to me.
Well, she said she's coming back. I think she thinks that she was disconnected from
us.
Yeah,
but
she couldn't hear.
I'm just trying to tell her.
But anyway, Dr. Smith-Yankus.
Okay, somebody was trying to get your attention, Rhoda.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Ida's on the line.
Ida's on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me just share with you, Ida. We heard about your family, your husband passing today, and we just want you to know.
Last week.
Your husband passed last week. Well, just share with us about your family, because I am so sorry. But go ahead and tell us.
Hi, everybody. Sorry to interrupt the call, but yes, he died last Sunday night, March 13th. We buried him. We had funeralized him on this past Saturday. But I was telling Nathan that I didn't know if I'd make it on the call or not, because the day was a really hard day, you know, trying to work through the business and everything, and it just got kind of emotional. But I'm doing okay, and I'm hanging in there. But I wanted to be on the call just to listen, you know, to take my mind off the things that I have to, that are before me to do. And but I appreciate all the love, that you guys, and the prayers and everything that you send up for me and everything. And not going to take up much time, but go ahead with all the good information, because we got a lot of lives to save.
Well, on behalf of everyone listening, Ida, we just extend our love and may the comfort of the Holy Spirit be yours, because I've lost a husband and I've lost a father, and there's nothing that has deeply grieved me like the loss of someone that I love. And just know we're with you. And if you'd be kind enough to forward me an email or the contact, however you want people to contact you, I can then circulate that out to our listening audience so that we can be a blessing to you in your time of need, because you have certainly sacrificed to be a blessing to us.
Okay. Thank you. I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, Dr. Smith and Yankins, if you'll tell these people how a woman from Russia that we never seen walked up to me during our lunch break. We were training in Toronto, learning how to do the PSE machine, which stands for psychosomatic energetics. We were learning how to read and measure energy loss from exposure to toxins in the environment and also psychosomatic trauma. And out of nowhere, a lady walks up to us the second day during lunchtime and says, do you have ants in your house? Go ahead, Dr. Smith Yankins.
Well, the most astounding thing is they wondered how you were even walking around.
Mm. Yes. because I was so radioactive that they could not tell them. Tell them, doctor.
they didn't know how she could even, how she could even function mentally because the readings were so off the chart with her. It's like, how could she even think? I mean, it's like, how are you functioning?
In fact, they asked me, how did I get to Canada? How did I even navigate customs? Because the machine said that I had no ability to even figure out 1 + 1 = 2. I had no cognitive ability to decode or understand or figure anything out. That's how
And Rhoda made a joke. She said, well, that's why I brought Dr. Smith in, because Alan.
That's right.
For me.
Because if you remember correctly, Doc, I called you up and I said, listen, come to Canada with me. I said, I'll pay your airfare. I'll pay your hotel. You said, oh, I can get airfare. I got 3 miles or whatever you had. And I said, I need you to come and go to this house with me because I need your brain. My brain cannot load anything. What I said.
And that's what you said. And so when they did the numbers on her, she was absolutely correct. They did not know how she was functioning.
So when the doctor checked me and said you're 100% radioactive, I was totally shocked and scared out of my wits. And you were there when they measured me and said, lady, you are 100%. When she took those magnets, says you're reacting from your feet to the crown of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so having said that, you know, my journey has been documented by other people who have witnessed my journey to become an environmental health physicist and fight so that other people don't have to be sick the way I was sick, the way Dr. Smith is, because our families were ill. And having said that, you know, the Catholic Church is going to glorify Mother Teresa in September. She has been being named to the sainthood. They say if you do 2 miracles, you'll get named a saint. Well, we had to have a special show today because even though I'm not Catholic, Gagan has become an angel, so I can just call him Angel Saint Gagan. With this second miracle that we heard last week, a child with 100 to 150 seizures per day. Gagan, you got to tell us your side of the story. What happened with you and Josiah? How did you even meet this young man?
Well, it was really through the divine guidance. We have students in our cars called GPS. Well, the Most High uses GPS to send people or to send you to people. And me and my mate Leslie were at a church. It was a African festival of some sort, a market. And so we were there vending, and we had the nanos on the table and other things dealing with health and wellness. And it was Saturday and a Sunday, and Saturday was a pretty slow, and we were deciding whether we were going to even come back on that Sunday. And there was a woman who he came up to the booth, and I was talking to her, and she seemed like she was part of the church. And I said, well, she asked, she says, are you going to come back on Sunday? And I said, well, I don't know. I looked at Leslie and said, well, what should we do? And she says, okay. I said, well, she says we're gonna come back, we'll come back. So we came back the next day, and lo and behold, after service, the church let out, and this lady came to the booth, and I started telling her about the nanos, and I did the Bedoy test and test her, and she was pretty amazed, and she says, well, you got to meet my daughters. I said, okay. So she just gets on the phone and she calls her daughters. And I said, well, is she coming today? Because, you know, I think it was like it ended at 4 and it must have been about 2 o'clock. So long story short, the lady's daughter showed up, Jerusha. I met her and I got to explaining to her. And she was looking at me so intently and listening to everything I said. And then she explained that her son was having seizures. And so she didn't buy the dinner right then and there. She says, well, I got to go talk to my husband. I said, sure, fine. And then I think it was the next day on a Monday she called me. And so she said, we met at a library, outside library at a park lot. And she had her three boys with her. And Josiah was in the car. So I got in the car. It's interesting how you work in a real car. And so I did the muscle testing through the mother. And he was a bright young boy. You know, you could see he was bright. And, you know, you could see the energy, the brightness from his eyes. And so I muscle tested him and, you know, determined he needed, I think it was 2 nanos at the time. And then that was it, you know. The mother was very media savvy, so she pulled out her smartphone and interviewed me right there on the spot. And I didn't hear anything from him, so I had sent the mother the phone number, you know, on the call. I think that was 2 weeks ago, so she could listen to the topic was on seizures. So she did, and then I get a call from Doc saying that a miracle had happened, that the young man was riding a bicycle when seizures stopped, and since talked to her, and we've been in communication. And so I just, once again, the divine does the work with this technology in terms of bringing the people who need it the most to me.
And that is what's so miraculous to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
One of the things that, as I work with this technology, I was watching a video earlier in the week, and it was dealing with shaman from Peru, and they had this doctor on. He's actually a psychologist and anthropologist, but he talked about how indigenous healers have the ability to see the luminous energy field that surrounds the physical body. And that this luminous energy informs the body, organizes information in the same way that if you had little pilots of metal with glass and you put a magnet up to it, that the file of the metal with the torch finds in the pattern. And got to thinking about that, and then also how when they discussed that when they looked at the auric field, which is this energy field around the body or body field, it has a shape. And what happens is that when we are get into the city, the energy field collapses. And I said, and it expands in nature. But it also
affected
by, you know, toxins, emotions, and it really occurred to me that it's in that energy field where the healing takes place. This is why shamans have the ability to see, they call them spirit, see, or energy. And so I believe that the nanos, the biobalance, the flat batteries, work in the way where it harmonizes the luminous energy field around the individual. And when it does that, the healing takes place. So,
well, I concur with you because next week I'm going to send everybody one of the scanned. I asked the doctor for permission to have, well, actually the doctor gave the scans from the NASA machine to the gentleman that was on the radio show a month ago that had Parkinson's. We now have his scans that actually show the absorption of EMF radiation before he had the flat battery nanos on and after. And amazingly, everything you're saying is exactly what those scans showed before they showed the impairment of energy flow in the spinal nerves. And then afterwards, which was so miraculous, and it spellbound even the doctor, it completely energized the spine. The tremors, the involuntary tremors, stopped, and it made the spine almost stressless. The energy flow was so even and balanced that even the doctor was blown away. And everybody will be able to see that next week. I'm going to send it to you out on the email blast.
So yeah, that you know, I guess in the scientific, that gives us the validity to prove this. But that's what I believe what's going on with these children with seizures and people with Parkinson's, is that their bioelectrical field has been interrupted or blocked. And when this technology, as we know, was designed to work with machines and phones and laptops, it actually is harmonized the body, a bioelectrical field, and when it's into a homeostasis or gets into a level that the body recognizes as whole, that's when the miracle happens. We provide the platform for the body to harmonize with the nanos, and then the body it recognizes the natural state that is natural for a human being or animal or a plant, and that these EMF fields actually disrupt, cause the energy field to collapse and to distort. And so this is what I really see as true energy medicine.
Absolutely, and that's the big thing. There's a whole big research platform now happening at Yale University and at the Cleveland Clinic on energy medicine, and they're really trying, especially at Yale, they're trying to really advance that spectrum, because we're learning a whole lot more about our chakras and the aura
yeah.
of our body that medicine does not address.
Correct. And what's so deep is that we live in the age of information, the information age.
Yes.
And we take it for granted, but the only way that we can live in the information age is the electromagnetic spectrum is the vehicle by which all these wireless energies travel. And so we are constantly, you know, it's up to like 200 million times more EMF radiation than we had in, you know, 50, 60 years ago, or even longer. So
absolutely.
It's only going to grow because the routers, cell phones, everything is based upon the technology that works on wireless energy, and that wireless energy has to go through the electromagnetic spectrum, and that they are using higher and higher energies. And those energy waves, the more energy, the more, the faster the peaks go if you measure it on a scale, and the more chaotic the energy is. And therefore, it is disrupting the whole human bioelectrical field, as well as we haven't even talked about pets, people with the pets at the home.
And you know, we have, you know what, that's great, because we need to probably have a show, because we've had so many pet owners that have sent me reports that their dogs had tumors that are now gone. Matter of fact, Rod has a great testimony about how he used, Rod from Montreal, Canada, shared, you know, the journey he had with his dog who what became pain-free because he used the nanos to manage his pain on some, I'll let him tell the testimony, but on a leg injury that he had. So you're absolutely right. We need to do a show on dogs, and it might be, thank you for that thought, Gagan, because you're absolutely correct. And Dr. Smith-Dinkins shared earlier about, we were talking about ECT treatments, electroconvulsion therapy, where they use electricity to induce seizures. And
right.
She was sharing that it's like 400 volts of electrical current. And these one or two seizures in people a lot of times died because they went into heart failure.
Right.
And I'm telling you, we were trying to look ahead to try to connect the dots, but after hearing Dr. Smith-Dinkins today, I think we need to go back in time and look at the effects of electrical radiation and how it alters the mind, because as she began to share, we saw Alzheimer's, we saw autism, we saw dementia. I mean, we saw short-term memory loss. I mean, the things that she shared that happened to people was just utterly phenomenal. And it further validates, in my opinion, how having so much electrical current in your home is making you sick, excuse me, and taking our life.
Right.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the show. We're at the top of the hour. And what I'd like to do is dedicate the last few.
Doctor, still there? Got the AOT coming out.
Dr. A, your speaker. Dr. A, your speaker now.
Hey, here.
Started talking. Dr. A, your speaker went out.
Yes.
Okay,
there you
I'm
go.
Here. No. Your speaker
okay.
went out.
Okay. I just want to send my love and comfort to Ida, to her family. I love and celebrate you. I will be in touch with you. God's speed and God's mercy surround you in Jesus' name. Anyone else want to send, want to share?
Well, we send our prayers, love, energy, and comfort.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, everyone.
Is that all? That is all? I guess we're going to close there. Okay, good
okay,
night, everybody.
We'll let you have the last word if you're still on.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate that. I'll be talking to you, Dr. Malali, and keep up the good work, Gagan.
All
really
right.
Enjoy the show tonight. Thank you.
All right. Blessing.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.